G'day, Giselle Hannah here for this week's edition of Stick Together, the only national program focusing on union news, workers' stories and social justice issues. This program is produced in Melbourne for 3CR and the Community Radio Network on the stolen lands of the Kulin Nation, and we pay our respects to their elders past and present. On Monday the 23rd of June, community members rallied at Coburg Town Hall to save the social worker position at Marybeck Libraries. In February, Marybeck Council ended the successful two-year pilot program for a permanent social worker in the library and had refused to commit to the program. This protest called on the council to fund a full-time in-house library social worker in this time of multiple compounding crises, recognising that libraries are the heart of our communities. On today's program, I bring you audio from that rally, starting with the rally's chairperson, Yasmin Shamsili.
I just want to start with an acknowledgement of country, just acknowledging that this is Aboriginal land. It's land that was never ceded, land that was stolen, and we pay our respects to elders past and present. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. So we're here today in solidarity with the workers at the Marybeck Libraries and with the kind of more general cause of social workers who, you know, in this country where we're experiencing an enormous amount of housing stress, a crisis in the cost of living and, you know, increasing attacks on the welfare state, we're in desperate need of more and more services, whether that's more mental health care workers, social workers, but just support all across the board. And the library's social worker program was one small step in the direction that we want to see, where we want social solutions to all of the issues that are facing our communities, whether that's people not having access to safe and secure housing, whether that's the mental health care crisis, etc. So that program was highly successful. It was a program that had run for 2 years as a pilot program, a full-time social worker in the library, which was then unceremoniously cut in February of this year. Since then, there's been a lot of misinformation, which is part of the reason why we wanted to have this protest. There's been a lot of talk about how the program isn't actually being cut, about how we just need more evaluation, we just need more reports to figure out what we're going to do with this program. But the reality is that we've had no social worker since February, and there's been no money put aside in the budget to continue the program of having an in-house social worker. And so what we're calling for is a full funding of a social worker program in the budget. And what we've actually found out is over the last few days, because of the community pressure that we've put on the various councillors and the campaign that we've been running, we've actually found out that some members of council are going to move an amendment to the budget to put a full-time social worker in the libraries. So that's a small community win potentially. So we're going to have some speakers to talk about the issue, so to talk both about the program but also about why we want this program in our communities. So the first speaker is Louis. Louis is a social worker in Glenroy in Marybeck.
Hi everybody, my name is Louis, as Jazz pointed out, thank you. I am a social worker here in Marybeck. I'm a proud Australian Services Union member and I'm also a member of the Victorian Socialists. We are currently witnessing, or at least I think that we are currently witnessing, the complete collapse of our social and community services sector. The intensification of housing and accessibility in our communities is forcing working class people back out into the streets and into homelessness. Victoria is in fact a leader in housing stress, with more working class people experiencing housing pressure here in Victoria than anywhere else in the whole country. Across Australia, over 3 million of us are currently experiencing this housing pressure, and we are on the verge of homelessness. That's 3 million of us that are on the verge of homelessness across the country. This housing crisis is truly unprecedented, And as always, it is working class families who have to bear the brunt of the system's failures. Meanwhile, going on at the same time is obviously that cost of living crisis that we keep hearing about. That cost of living crisis is putting intense pressure on working class families. It means that things like food and electricity, the prices of these things continue to rise while wages continue to stagnate. Nearly 4 million Australians today are facing food insecurity, which is a terrible, terrible shame. There are millions across the country that can barely afford heating in the winter time. Our social and community services sector is being overwhelmed by working class people who simply can't afford to pay their rent, can't afford to feed their families, can't afford to heat their homes. And it is against this devastating backdrop that the Marybeck Council has shamefully decided to cut an essential social worker program that is providing life-saving support to the most vulnerable people in our communities. The library social workers, who are subject to these brutal cuts, are absolutely crucial for our sector. They provide a safe and meaningful point of contact for the most vulnerable members of our community, helping them access vital housing support, employment programs, and essential health and education resources. These are the supports that actually breathe life back into our communities. The sector right now is facing so many cuts, so many hiring freezes, so many redundancies and service closures that we honestly feel like it is on the verge of collapse. Burnout amongst workers is endemic, and we're expected to continue to carry all of the different traumas of capitalism as they bring hunger, homelessness, addiction, and mental illness into the lives of working class people. Whether the Marybeck Council or, in fact, the Labor government, resources continue to be funneled out of public housing, out of mental health, out of AOD programs, and out of education, creating the conditions for the sorts of social disintegration that bring about a rise in crime, a rise in drug abuse, a rise in mental illness, and of course a rise in homelessness. As we speak and as we stand here today, the Labor government is in the process of demolishing all of our public housing resources. This is to benefit private developers, property investors. They're prioritising billions of dollars to invest in the militarisation of our police force. They are investing millions of dollars into building new prisons to lock up our children. And they're investing hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars into nuclear submarines to continue to just feed the endless and never-ending war machine of capitalism. When our communities, our local communities like here in Marybeck, when they are sick, unsafe and suffering, the answer from council, from state and federal governments seems to be to cut our community's resources and make significant investments into state repression. Why? Well, because limiting access to housing is profitable. Limiting access to education is profitable. Limiting access to healthcare is profitable. Limiting access to all of those essential goods and services like food is profitable. Capitalism's priorities are not to take care of our local communities. They're not to educate our children or feed our hungry. The priorities of capitalism as a system are designed to create profit at the expense of working class people. And we need to change that system. We need to value people over profit. Frankly, I think we need socialism. But the fight for our communities and the fight for working class people, it does begin here. It begins at the local level. It begins when people come together to organise to protect our local resources and to protect our library social workers, of course. And so we need working class people to stand up in their communities. We need them to stand up in their workplaces. We need working class people to say no to cutting essential services. We need them to say no to abandoning the most vulnerable amongst us. So we are here today, as we know, to call on the Marybeck Council to let them know that we will defend our social worker, that we will defend our community, and that we will say no to these cuts. So thank you.
Thanks, Louis. One of the most apparent things that we've been seeing over the last few years is the rise of people without homes and housing stress. In Marybeck, in particular, there was a report in 2021 that said over 700 people are sleeping rough without housing in Marybeck. And it was acknowledged in that report that because it was done during COVID, it was acknowledged that that number is probably a tiny proportion of the reality of the situation. So you think about it, if 700 people is an understatement, there are more than that living rough, sleeping rough in Marybeck. When you think, what is the response of the council to this situation? Well, the response of Oscar Yildiz and other councillors has been not to provide social services and social support, but the response has been punitive. It's been things like getting rid of the seating at the front of the Coburg Library to shame, to clean up the streets, make the Victoria Street Mall more pretty and more friendly. Oscar Yildiz quite confidently saying other council areas like in Pascoe Vale are bustling, but unfortunately in Coburg it's not, because we have people sleeping rough who they want to punish instead of providing social services to. So shame. So The next speaker, we have Artemis from the Renters and Housing Union. Artemis is the disabilities officer there and is going to say a few words for us.
I am not a Marybeck resident by a whopping 600 metres. I live very close to here. I walked here today. I consider this my community, my area, my neck of the woods, and believe really strongly that these services are absolutely vital. I want to thank the organizers for inviting us as Rahu to speak here today, and for my fellow Rahu comrades entrusting me to speak to this, because this is a housing issue and it is a disability issue, both of these at once. I might start off by reading some statistics. I know that's very dry and boring, but I'm gonna try and not make it so. These numbers come from a report by Homelessness Australia, which came out in October just past. And it says that there are upwards of 100,000 people with a psychosocial disability and unmet housing and support needs. And in excess of 20,000 people who are experiencing persistent and repeat homelessness. Victorians, specifically, there are 6,000 to 11,000 Victorians who are living with severe mental health issues and homeless. And a further 20,000 are living in housing situations that are problematic for themselves or those they live with. Now, where do you go when you don't have a home to go to? Where do you go when the home that you have is not safe for you? There are vanishingly few public spaces that you can just exist in. Even fewer if you don't want to pay for the right to be there. And even fewer if you want protection from the elements. For many people, the only answer is libraries. And that was the case for myself. I was couch surfing, which is a form of homelessness, for a period of 3 months in 2019. I lived out of a suitcase and I'd never stayed at the same house for more than 3 days in a row. I would quickly pack up and get out of the house as soon as possible because I was sleeping on my friends' couches and I wanted them to have their lounge rooms back. So where did I go? I either went to work or I went to the library. And at the time, the libraries I was going to did not have a social worker. They didn't have a service like this. And I feel like if they did, I might have gotten the support that I needed to find suitable housing sooner. You see someone coming in with a suitcase every single day, you might work out that they need some support. But let's jump forward a bit. Let's jump to now, 2025. I am one of those people who live with a psychosocial disability, actually a few. I feel safer existing in spaces where I know there are people who have the training to properly address the situation if shit goes down. I'll just say, I have a tic disorder. You might have heard me wooing at inappropriate moments in previous person's speech. It means that I often don't feel safe to exist in public, but having people who have training and expertise allows me to feel safer in spaces like this, spaces which are absolutely vital. Because I know for me, I work from libraries. I use libraries as a place to escape the elements. I use libraries as a place to charge my phone, to get some printing done, to meet with my support workers. And that I need them less now than I did back in 2019. There are so many people who need them way more than I do. And so to cut these services it's painful and it's really sad. And so I would urge Marybeck Council to strongly reconsider this position, because I know that the library staff do care and that they are invested in disabled community. I see the air filters in Marybeck libraries. I don't see those in other library services. I don't see them in hospitals even these days. So I see that goodwill, and I want the council to support that. I want the council to support the care that the library staff clearly have for disabled community. This needs to be reinstated immediately, and work needs to be done to protect these services into the future. Thank you very much.
And another fight that's taking place in Victoria is by workers in the mental health care system at large. And so the next speaker we have is Jason. Jason is a member of HACSU, the union, and has now taken two rounds of industrial action to fight for mental health care workers across the sector, receiving funding and decent pay. So, Jason.
Thanks, comrades. I just wanted to say that last speech from Artemis was really moving, and I was like an awkward young person and spent a lot of time in libraries as well, and I think it just goes to show how a physical space that you can go to, you don't have to pay money to get help, you can just exist and be, is so precious and important, but unfortunately so rare as well. And I think that's why this program is so important and so vital, and why libraries play such a crucial role. So I'm an occupational therapist and a delegate with the Health and Community Services Union. As Yaz said, we've been fighting to get fair pay and conditions for mental health workers and also mental health services users. For the last 6 months, we've been taking industrial action. Thanks. So, unlike public mental health services, which can be very difficult to get access to because of consistent underfunding for community mental health programs, libraries are this key, important and vital role service that are offered in the community. And the Coburg Library is a particularly important place at the centre of this suburb and the broader community. It's a hub for people from all walks of life, but in particular for people that are disadvantaged and marginalised. So I work as a mental health OT and clinician in this area, and there are some good programs in Marybeck. But unfortunately, if you're homeless, disabled, experiencing family violence, and up against it, it's actually really hard to find the programs that are out there and actually get the care that you need, which is why this social work program in the library was so vital. And I think it's really disgraceful that the Marybeck Council has cut such a successful program. And I couldn't help but draw some parallels between what we're seeing with the Allan government, the state Labor government here. So we know what people need, and we know what actually helps. The Victorian Mental Health Royal Commission was extremely clear, but the Allan government has been slashing mental health services across the state. They promised to fund 800 mental health positions, and they haven't filled any of them. So there's really strong parallels, I think, with this case, with Marybeck. It's one small program and one small example, but I think, comrades, what we're seeing is actually like a mass program of austerity for health and social community services for working class people, services that we know are actually desperately needed. And what we're seeing instead is more money going to shareholders, bosses, police, war, and all these other programs which are actually really detrimental and bad. So it's really fantastic that everybody has come here today to stand up and fight back. and mental health workers fully support the comrades in Vic Socialists, Socialist Alliance, ASU, who are fighting back against this, because we have to fight this austerity wherever we see it. And this is a really fantastic example of doing that at a concrete level here in the community. And it's fantastic to see that we've already had a win and that the council are backing off and actually acknowledging how important this program is. So well done to the organizers and well done to everybody who's come out tonight. I'm going to actually do a little chant. They say cut back, we say fight back. Cut back,
fight back.
Cut back,
fight back.
Cut back,
fight back.
Cut back.
Fight back.
Awesome, thanks.
Let's keep it going. When they say cut back, we say fight back. Cut back,
fight back.
Cut back.
Fight back.
When they say cut back, we say fight back. Cut back,
fight back.
Cut back,
fight back.
Cut back. Just going to read out a little message that we've received. So ASU workers in the council across every area of the council, including the library, are prohibited from speaking directly to their councillors. But instead of speaking directly to them, you can say with confidence that they are angry. They're angry about their social worker program being cut. They're angry about how the executive of the council, the CEO, and management has attacked them on a whole range of fronts. But I have a little message from them for this community rally. So, from anonymous ASU members. Library staff overwhelmingly support the library social worker, and we want the program reinstated as a genuine, in-house, permanent role. But we recognise that's not enough, and we need more social workers and more social supports. Linked to this issue is the threat of unstaffed libraries. Marybeck management are in the early stages of planning to open the libraries to unstaffed hours, opening hours. This relates to the social worker in that there are two starkly diverging visions for the library. The one that staff and community share of a well-staffed and resourced library with social supports, such as the social workers. And then there's a dystopian vision which is unstaffed, lacks books, and is policed by security and by cops. Marybeck have already gone down the path of policing and now dropping the social worker. And unstaffed libraries is the next stop. So, shame. And so a big thank you from the library workers for everyone coming out. Okay, so the next speaker we have is from the Australian Services Union, the Secretary of the Australian Services Union, Vic Taz, Victorian Tasmania branch, I think, Tash Walk. So thank you.
Firstly, just want to say thank you. It's great to see so many people here supporting ASU members at Marybeck Council and particularly our amazing library workers. Our library workers are really loved. Every time we take industrial action in a council or in a library corp, we get masses of community support for the amazing job that our library members do. So just a big shout out to them and obviously for organising all of this support to come along today. So thank you all for coming along. Library workers are important for a whole range of reasons, and some of the previous speakers have touched on this. So libraries are a massive refuge, as others have talked about, whether it's like sheltering from heat, from, you know, the cold, from all sorts of different kinds of situations in their personal lives. Really, libraries are a safe place for everyone. Our library members have told us, and we have written to the councillors to say that this program must stay in the budget. And if anything, what they are seeking is that rather than have one social worker, that there be two social workers that are working across the library. So that is something that we've really firmly asserted. Glad to hear that maybe there's some traction on that, but obviously want to hear the outcomes of the budget today. Some of the other stuff that I think maybe hasn't been touched upon is the kind of like day-to-day jobs for library workers. So, you know, they are the front line. They are dealing with anything and everything that comes through the library door. Some of the issues that we have with library members is, you know, the exposure to a potential occupational violence. We know if there is solid support for people coming into the library space that they can access, that that minimises the likelihood of behavioural patterns and other stuff getting a little bit out of control for that space. And we would much rather see that and a positive kind of constructive measure put in place and supporting people who come in with issues, then, yeah, as other people have touched on, security and cops being called. It's not necessary, and we know that this works. So there's been already, as we understand it, an internal evaluation and an external evaluation that have shown that this program is entirely, effective, and that there is every grounds. It does not need more evaluation to tell us all what we already know, which is that this program works. I guess I just wanted to highlight as well, we've got quite a few members here who are from other parts of the ASU coverage. So it's great to see other people here from the community sector coverage. Obviously, this struggle is all really well and truly linked. I thought I might share just like an interesting story about some of that kind of policing stuff that's happened in other councils. We had some council workers up in Queensland recently who worked really effectively with some of the community sector members up there. The council up there was telling local laws workers to go find people for being out in public spaces. They were trying to clean up the area and did some really great work. So it's great to see this kind of, connection happening here as well. We want to make sure that, we're doing positive, constructive things for society together. So thank you all. Thanks for the support and, well done to all the ASU members involved in this.
Those were the voices of MC Yasmin, Louie, an ASU member and social worker in Marybeck, Artemis, a disability officer at Rahu, Jason, a HACSU delegate regarding recent industrial action, and Tash Wark, the secretary of the Australian Services Union, VicTas. And that's it for Stick Together this week. If you want to catch up with our program, you can download the podcast at 3cr.org.au or on iTunes, and you can contact the producers of the show at sticktogether3cr@gmail.com. My name's Giselle Hannah. Remember, wherever you are, whatever you do, there's a union for you. And until next time, stick together and keep safe.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all, with a hell of a shout. It's out, brothers, out. And the rise of the factories fall. Oh, get on, get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die. As a union man, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies, and I don't get fooled by the factory rules, 'cause I always read between the lines, and I always get my way if I strike for higher pay. When I show my